that you do, and then you you check in when you want to come, and whether you can attend the Saturdays or not. I want the information out there for you, because it's very important right now, and we'll talk about some of the things that I've read. And remember that information that we have, it changes, and it changes very quickly, because science is slow, and this thing is happening very fast to us. So what science knows for sure is very little. We've got a lot of hunches, and we got a lot of people pointing us in certain directions, and so, you know, we'll talk about that, and talk about one of the things that I read that make the concept of us practicing breathing techniques very valuable to us. Hopefully, none of us will be afflicted with an active infection, one that would create issues for us. And some of the breathing techniques are there in case we do have an active infection that we need to work with. But I'll tell you this, it's sort of like, why don't we make our capacity for breathing even better right now, and make it so that our lungs are strong, and that for whatever else that we face in life, you know, oxygenation, very important for our body, for our tissues, for our brain, and other functions of the body. So let's make sure that we're getting as much of that as possible just through our regular training. And so, as I said, I see some more people joining us, and that will continue to happen as we're getting on. If there are questions that you have, please absolutely ask those questions. Just turn your mic to active, you know, to on. Find out where that is, and then once you've finished, you know, talking and asking your question, just go ahead and turn that microphone off again, simply because the background noise that you may not be aware of, we are all very aware of. So if somebody in the background is eating potato chips, guess what? We know it's eating potato chips. All right, just as you see me leaning closer, it's like, what is that thing said? So I can see the chats happening. So y'all are welcome to say, you know, send chats to the whole group at large, or just to, you know, each individual. And if you'd want to have your video on, you can have your video on. And if you want to have your video off, you can turn it off as well. And so you can just sit there and eat your potato chips. And we wouldn't know if your microphone is off, but, you know, if you have parrots in the background or other things, you probably want to keep that microphone off until you're asking a question. Okay. Let's see. Now Lauren wants chips. Yeah, I know. I'm talking about potato chips, so now I'm making everybody hungry. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get us started. And if you have your handout with you, as I said, it's nice to have that available to you, whether you have it printed out or whether you have it just you know, online that you're looking at as well, simply because I'm not going to read that directly from you. I'm going to mention things within that handout, but I don't want to you know, read that to you verbatim, because you can do that on your own, and I want us to have a nice chance to interact. And so I want to welcome everyone to our second of the deep breathing techniques. And no worries if you were not attending the first one, then what we do today isn't going to leave you out and you know, in the dust, as it were, having not practiced the things. And to those of you out, and you don't have to answer me, but I'm hoping that you, if you had the chance to be with me last week, that you did practice at least one time between the last 7 days the breathing techniques that we went over in that class. And those are helpful, very helpful, that we begin to practice. A lot of times people will come into to learning breathing techniques for various reasons, and I listed those in your handout. And one of the key ones, and the one that would benefit us the most right now, is it will enhance our relaxation. It will reduce our stress level. It's one of the things that we do in association with meditation, is to do some deep breathing practices. And I mentioned last time how the expansion, especially of the abdomen, produces a response in the respiratory portion of the vagus nerve, and that hits the parasympathetic system within the body and causes relaxation of all tissues. So when we do deep breathing, we are actually signaling to our body the desire of us to relax. Now, it's not extremely strong, so don't expect it if you're having a panic attack to immediately with deep breathing, everything calms down. But it does add layer after layer. It's a cyclic kind of thing. The more relaxed you get, the more relaxed you can get. So relaxation is one of the key benefits and reasons that people might be practicing deep breathing. Another one is that if we're exercising, there are certain sports that require a lot of endurance, and breathing techniques, developing a deep breath can really help. And some particular pursuits and sports, like, you know, deep diving, require a very particular breath training for the person to unassistedly, without oxygen, go down to deep depths. And so that's one of those particular sports that people do. Most of us don't, but that's one that the person would very specifically train their breathing in order to do that sport. Another very common reason people that practice deep breathing is because they are afflicted with asthma or other obstructive pulmonary issues. So lung issues that obstruct the ability to breathe. Those people will be taught breathing techniques of you know, prolonged exhales, because that's often what's happening, is that they can inhale but they cannot get all of the breath out of the lung. And so there's a lot of different techniques to slow down the breathing rate and create a breathing pattern associated with improving lung condition for asthma and other obstructive lung disorders. People that speak publicly, they learn to diaphragm breathe and to project their voice from the diaphragm. So do singers, so operatic singers especially, they learn to boom that voice out without straining the throat area. So those who practice that kind of public speaking and or singing or other voice type things, that would be a reason that a person would pursue a practice of deep breathing. And, you know, I said if you're in the midst of an anxiety attack, you know, deep breathing will help some but not completely. But to reduce the episodes of other nervous disorders, anxiety attack and panic attacks and other things with mental health, breathing and the relaxation, it's going to be very helpful for us if we're doing that. So that's another reason. As well as just in general, I associate with meditation, associate with yoga, mind and body interactions. Breathing is an unconscious thing, and any time we do something that takes an unconscious process and turns it into a conscious focus, it really enhances that mind-body connection. It puts us into a deeper connection into the here and the now, and so that's another reason for it. And then, of course, there's just a group who's pursuing the traditional pranayama. It's part of their yoga training. It's part of what they want to pursue because of the traditions of the training itself. They're trying to enhance that capacity. So that all of those and more, and reasons I didn't even mention, could be reasons that a person would be pursuing this deep breathing. And so on that list, health being one of them, that's a lot of reasons why we might be interested in it right now. We're trying to enhance our health. We're trying to do something to improve the oxygenation of our lungs, and that is definitely something for that. For a future workshop. Yeah, we can talk about more things, and there will be future workshops in addition to this one too. Most of the time when I run into different deep breathing practices, I think that what I see are those that come from the traditions. Let's see, let me pull up a few of the chat things that are coming here. How to breathe when compromised. We're going to talk about one of those. Do you recommend Science of Breath? Is it outdated? Lizette, I'm not sure if that is a book that you're talking about. It doesn't chime any bells to me. The Light on Pranayama is a traditional book that's very specific to the traditional practices, and I'm not as sure of Science of Breath. So, okay, it is a book. I would say that outdated is not necessarily a problem, because, as I was saying, many of the traditional, many of the modern things are coming from the traditions of pranayama yogic training or other breathing training associated with meditation. So the practices that have worked in the past work very well now. There are a few things that I run across that are new modern inventions that there are no scientific validity to, but most that most challenging to keep with, yeah. All right. Okay. Back to one of the things that is probably very important, and something I'm going to touch on as we go through a breathing practice here in a minute. It's a daily training. If you want to enhance your breathing, it is something for you to do every day. But the duration is not as important as the persistence, okay? So duration, especially at first, if you're just for 2 minutes of your day, or even less than that, if you were just for a couple of breaths, to focus your mind and to breathe in a very specific way, just one of our techniques, one of the simple techniques, you would begin to build a connectivity from day to day to day, and you would begin to enhance your mind-body connection from day to day to day. So it's better to do a daily practice than to say, okay, once a week I'm going to practice this training, because your structure that is doing this training is a physical one. So it's not just the mind, and it's not just the practice of it. There's an actual physical muscularity that we're trying to enhance. And we don't need to do an extreme amount at once. It's sort of like if I want to train with weights, I want to practice in a way that stimulates the action. And I could practice, every other day. Or I could practice lightly every single day. I don't need to do intensity with breathing training. I need to do persistent practice that is at a level that I find to be both encouraging as well as mildly challenging. It doesn't need to be very strong. We'll talk about some of the problems of breathing practice when a person is very much influenced to get their breathing going because I'm nervous, I'm worried that my breathing is a problem, and so I jump into it and I hit it really hard. And it's sort of like saying, well, you could start with this 3 to 5 pound weight and begin to train your muscles, instead of trying to lift and hoist a 20-pound weight that's just too much. You're going to be discouraged if you push too hard, but you're going to be far more encouraged if you go gently, if you just train yourself, but do it with some persistence. Now, that's why I say start with simple techniques. And so the techniques of breathing training that I teach the most are the simplest one. And last week, we talked about diaphragm belly breath as one of the trainings. And so just right now, if you're in a comfortable position, now let me tell you that you can do it from a seated position, you can also do it from a reclined position. And so the most important thing is that we don't slouch and slump in our posture, that we sit upright with good posture and in gentle engagement in our core, or we recline in a position where, again, our body is supported in good posture. But let's go ahead and just for a couple of minutes right now, practice a little bit of what's called belly breathing. It's a very simple technique, and it's using the muscle known as the diaphragm that is sort of a parachute shape up in the ribcage structure, and when contracted will pull down toward the belly, and it will make our belly swell outward when we breathe into the diaphragm. So if you just go ahead and just place your hands lightly on your stomach right now, and in a comfortable but good posture, exhale completely, and then just inhale into your belly, letting it swell outward like a balloon, as much as comfortably possible. As soon as you are as filled as you can comfortably be, exhale slowly, 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 slowly. And I want us to do that for just a couple of minutes here, just breathing into the belly, filling as much as possible. One way that I help myself with breathing techniques is that I count the number of seconds it takes for me to inhale, and I count the number of seconds it takes for me to exhale, trying to sort of just push just a little bit more into each inhale and into the duration of each exhale. We never want to be stressed. If you've got something tight around your waistband that's restricting your breathing, just move that out of the way, undo the belt, make sure that you can expand your belly outward as you breathe. Now, 2 minutes doesn't sound like a lot. We're only through our first minute of it right now. And it's sort of like when you're washing your hands. That's a long time to do that 20 seconds. So 2 minutes is actually, to do something unusual, that's a long time. So keep that, some more deep breathing. You may not be taking very many breaths for our first 2 minute duration breathing. And very, very slow exhales. So we got about 30 more seconds. Then we're going to do that deep breathing, just deep belly breathing. And it is not necessarily the easiest thing you've ever done at first. I still remember my first endeavor to breathe into the belly. It felt like there was something locked tight inside of me, not any waistband around me, but inside of me that was restricted and resisting. So you may have that experience too. Now after this slow, deep exhale, if anybody wants to tell me how that was, that's great. But how was that? You can answer or not. Was that something that you found to be comfortable? Now it is a simple thing, but it's the one that most likely you will remember to do versus any of these other interesting ones that we can do. But that's the basis. That is pretty much the basis of all of our other breathing techniques, is that we be able to breathe into that belly area, that we be able to create that diaphragm breath. And all the others are sort of built on top of that. So if nothing else, if no other breathing technique you practice, that would be one you want to practice. Let's see, somebody gonna answer to me. I hear somebody's audio on. Okay, well if you don't have anything to add into me, I'll assume that everybody did okay with that breathing practice. And there's another very simple practice that I'd like us to work with. Let's see, I've got something here. Not everyone can breathe into the belly. They need to find those muscles. You know, Marty, that's very true. It is rather difficult. That's why we put our hand right here to try and breathe into the belly. And so don't be stressed out if it didn't seem that that was easily happening. We are so used to breathing by lifting up the rib cage with all these muscles right here in the collarbone and dropping it down again. A lot of people pull in their belly when they're inhaling, and to relax the belly and inhale right here is difficult. If you're finding it tremendously difficult to breathe into the belly, one of the better things to do is to come into a reclined position. It could be on your side. It doesn't have to be on your back. It can be on your side, especially when recovering. Absolutely. So if we're having some trouble, or if we're already a little bit compromised, we may find it rather difficult to strongly breathe into the belly. Which side? Yeah, side is a good idea. Absolutely. So, you know, being on your back actually keeps you from moving sometimes. It allows you to breathe into the belly a little bit, but being on one side or the other might be more comfortable for your neck, and a lot of people feel more comfortable when they're on their side. So, you know, curling up on your side position might be one of the better breathing positions for you to be in. So, you know, you just choose. Very interesting about those muscles. Yep, indeed. Okay, now let us look at, speaking of muscles, so, you know, the diaphragm is only one of the respiratory muscles. We have respiratory muscles all over the ribcage structure. So we've got the diaphragm, and it's not actually, you know, it's in between the front and back of the ribcage. It's actually a very broad muscle structure that, as I said, it moves downward in its contraction about 4 inches away from this ribcage section toward the navel, a good 4 inches. But we also have the muscles in between the ribs, and their expansion causes the rib cage to pull outward. And we've got some very special ones in the back of the body, in the lower back where the bottom of the rib cage is, and basically underneath the shoulder blades. Those pull the ribs away. And then we have these collarbone area, neck area muscles that lift the rib cage up. And what it's doing is it's creating this expansion into a negative space. So it's literally pulling the air into us by moving the ribs or moving the belly away from the lungs, and that negative pressure sucks the air into the body. So we only breathe when our muscles can actively bring the air in, which is why if something happens to the spinal cord at a certain level and the muscles are completely disconnected, why a person has to have an artificial lung to breathe for them, because then their muscles can't do it anymore. That's one of the problems of having damage to the spinal cord at that certain level, because we breathe through a muscular action. We have to have physical muscles. So this next breathing technique identifies and activates these muscle structures for us. We're going to be belly breathing, we're going to be rib cage breathing, we're going to be lower and upper back of the chest, and then collarbone breathing in the same breath. It's called a four-part breath, or a complete breath. And don't get stressed out if you can't do all of this, but it's one of the reasons that counting the number of seconds is actually pretty good. So we're going to start over again from our comfortable position, and we're only going to do this for a couple of minutes, this breathing technique, before we get into others, so that we can do what is considered the four-part, or the more complete breath, because the diaphragm is only one of the areas. So as with anything, find that comfortable, good posture, or on your side position, or on your back position, or even on your stomach position. And we're going to, when we're ready, have you exhale completely. Just let all of that air leave your system. And you're going to begin your next breath in, into the belly. And when the belly seems filled, you're going to try and also breathe into the side of your chest. So from the bottom all the way up toward that underarm area. And then from that two part, you're just going to exhale that all the way. We're just going to keep adding on. All right. And from that slow exhale, you're next going to start in the belly. And when the belly seems no more air will fit in, you're going to breathe into the sides all the way up to the underarm, and then also add in your lower back and your shoulder blade area and try and just fill up that region. And then from that breath, exhale slowly, 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 slowly. And then when you're ready, your next breath, we're going to try and hit all the areas. Into the belly first, breathing and expanding. Into the sides of the chest, all the way toward the underarms. Into the lower back and shoulder blade area. And then sip, 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 more, more, more into the collarbone, 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 collarbone. Filled up with air. And exhale slowly, 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 slowly. Try a few more, just like that. Let's say you'll try three more of those complete full breaths. Now, I remember the first time I connected with this type of breathing technique. I breathed into my belly and I counted a large number of seconds and I thought, I'm full, there's nothing else. And then I breathed into my sides and lower back and I filled up and breathed in for the same duration extra that I breathed into my belly. And I was just sipping when I got to the collarbone region, but it was amazing to me. I doubled immediately the duration of my inhaled breath with that. And it was an eye-opening experience for me. Now, you may or may not have that same experience. And that's okay. Because you're going to only increase your skills and abilities as you practice. Marty says, after 15 years of practice, I reached new plateaus of lung capacity over time. Absolutely. Because our muscles get stronger, our abilities change, we keep getting better because we're practicing. And the more relaxed we get, the more we can engage these muscle structures. Now you're probably coming closer to the end of that third deep breath. And so when you exhale slowly and completely this time, let me ask you some things. How do you feel right now? Are you feeling a little bit more relaxed? Maybe. Maybe it's starting to calm you down as you're sort of shifting your gears back a little bit. But another thing that can happen to us is when we're practicing breathing techniques is that we can feel, oh, okay, energized. Yeah, more oxygen coming in. That's right. More oxygen getting to our brain. If we slip into, let's see, feeling prana, energy. That's right. If we slip into excessive breathing, hyperventilation, it can make us feel a tiny bit dizzy. So when you're just getting used to breathing practices, you might feel a tiny bit dizzy. And all that's telling you is that you're just getting more oxygen in than your body's used to using. And you should just slow down and go back to regular breathing or prolong that exhale for longer. Usually all that's necessary if you get into a, oh my goodness, I'm feeling excited, you know, more than just, you know, good amount of energy. You start to feel a little woozy. One of the reasons we practice sitting down or reclined. Just go back to your normal breathing. Because that's not an uncommon. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen. There's nothing serious about having a little bit of extra oxygen in the body. It's just unusual. The body's not used to it yet. And so if you get to anything like that, everything's okay. You don't even have to take that paper sack around. You're usually our over breathing is something that's just simple. We're just not used to it. We don't know how to slow it down enough, and we will learn better. And we will also enjoy and get used to more oxygen in our system. All right, good. But here's what's really good. I had y'all do that breathing technique because I've got some information to share with you. That's a little bit more about anatomy, and so now I know you're awake and aware. So yeah, I was planning this out for you. Because I want to talk a little bit, because here's the thing, I know that the more we know about the physical realities, the anatomy and physiology of the things that we do, be it the physical actions of yoga, through learning the anatomy and physiology or the physical things about breathing, the more calm we will be, the more we will understand what is happening within us when we practice our breathing techniques. We'll be encouraged because we'll say, ah, okay, I understand that. We'll also understand what's going on in the world around us right now and why there, you know, there's the problems of breathing are coming up associated with this virus. So let's talk about anatomy and respiration. Last time I talked a lot about the muscle structures, and that's in the handout from last time. But there's so much information, I don't want to keep going over the same things over and over again. I want to talk to you about the chemistry of respiration because, you know, just pulling the air into our lungs, that's what the physical anatomy, the muscles are about. And they're very, very interesting. But there's something else that happens when the air gets into our lungs, and it's the transfer, it's the crossing over of the oxygen through the cell wall, the very thin cell wall that are in the structures, the alveoli, where the capillary system is within the lungs. And so that crossover happens of oxygen entering our body and carbon dioxide leaving our body. But it doesn't stop there because those blood cells, and boy, I tell you, circulation is really quick. It is zooming through our system so that the little bitty blood cells can take the oxygen to each and every one of the cells everywhere in our body. And it just is so fast. It's almost like our entire cellular system is inhaling and exhaling at the same time. That's about how fast it is. But that's not the end of what has happening with oxygen. It's not just the oxygen gets to your cells. Something happens within the cells that's actually very fascinating. It is a chemistry happening, the chemistry of respiration. So breathing is one thing, circulation is another thing, and the chemistry of respiration is what's happening cell by cell by cell by cell. Because our body, in order for the cells to function, have to have energy. Now, we might call that energy, we might call that prana. Let's see what the question is. Can people on oxygen be helped by this? Well, absolutely, because oxygen is just being supplied. That is just the entering in, that's making an atmospheric gain to provide more oxygen for those lungs to pick up. So absolutely, people who are in any situation, high oxygen or low oxygen, whatever the support, they can benefit from what we're doing here with our breathing. Now, the energy of the cell is satisfied because we have not just oxygen. So oxygen is one of the chemical things, but glucose is the other, and we get the glucose from the foods that we digest and transport in. And so the supply of oxygen and glucose coming together within the cell is what creates that cellular energy. It is a chemical reaction. And the cellular respiration is in the mitochondria. Mitochondria of the cell, I'm always fascinated with mitochondria. It's like these little bitty beans inside of our cells. Let's see, my husband had a lung disease for 15 years. He maintained a very active life until the end because he did yoga and learned how to do these breathing techniques. Yeah, absolutely. So the breathing techniques we're learning can assist in all sorts of stages, and that's one of the reasons people learn. I do not remember his ever being afraid. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Let's talk about those little mitochondria in those cells. It's like a little bitty bean in there. It's amazing because mitochondria, it's thought sort of are a symbiotic relationship with us. They joined in with us. They're a little, at some point with a bacteria kind of thing. And that what they did is they provided energy for our cells and they became a part of us. And so we have these mitochondria that live inside of our cells. And the cell, that's where the breakdown of the glucose is happening within the cells. Let's see what some other people, very interesting. Let's see. Right, so I'm already saying she works with compromise, but I think it would be interesting to explore cues for those compromised, maybe in a teacher's training, perhaps so. When inside of our cells, the mitochondria, it's like a slow burn. It's like a wood fire, if you would, that's going on. It's releasing this thermal energy in us. And it's a very controlled energetic release. It drives the other processes within the cell. And it creates a very particular thing. When oxygen is breaking down the glucose. It produces energy, and there's a little molecule called adenosine triphosphate, or ATP. And that is the energy that the cell uses for all sorts of things. Our muscles use it to contract. Our body uses it to process. It's the cellular energy. It's the energy of life. And we could say that that is the little molecule that would most classically represent the prana, the energy within our body. But not all cellular respiration uses oxygen. In fact, you've possibly felt that maybe even today when you were exercising. You might have felt a little bit of a burning sensation in your muscles, and that is lactic acid. So lactic acid that we feel in our muscles when we exceed the amount of oxygen available to our body, when we can't breathe in enough, our body, you know, bodies long ago switched over to what's called anaerobic, non-oxygen ways of having respiration. So anaerobic respiration leaves a byproduct called lactic acid. And in a body that doesn't have enough oxygen, the body can still create energy, and the byproduct of lactic acid is created instead. It's a temporary state. The lactic acid is not going to stick around. It doesn't cling into our tissues for very long, past about a 45-minute window. It's one of the reasons that we're still breathing really hard when we stop running. We haven't paid back our oxygen debt. And when we finally get enough oxygenation back into our system after that physical, you know, expenditure of effort, then what happens is the molecule of lactic acid is meets up with the oxygen, and then a chemical reaction occurs. It basically produces that carbon dioxide and then water, H2O, for the body. And it's all very, very, very complicated. I'm just giving a very light version of what's happening within the Krebs cycle and the pyruvate cycle within the body. But it's all very interesting if you get into it as to what's happening within the body. And so the breathing techniques that we're using are basically to transport more oxygen in. And one of the wonderful things about doing any kind of breathing technique is we become more efficient in our breathing. So we breathe in ways that give us more oxygen for less energy. So we're expending less energy in our breathing, but we're actually getting more oxygenation, and we tend to reduce the number of breaths per second. So if one of the ways, there's some gadgetry that we were talking about earlier, the amount of volume of air that you exhale versus the amount of volume of air that you breathe in. But we can easily determine whether we're breathing better often by the number of breaths per minute that we breathe in and breathe out. And so that is one of the ways that we can determine, are we improving in our oxygenation of our tissue? Is it the breaths per minute, are they increasing or decreasing? Now you can do it by, you know, it's sort of like testing your pulse. We don't necessarily test the pulse for a full minute. We just check the number of breaths that we're taking in for about 15 seconds. So, and it's kind of hard to check that on your own, because the moment you start thinking about breathing is that you tend to alter the way that you breathe. But let's just say that I'll give you a time count here. And so for, you know, coming up in a few seconds here, I'll ask you to monitor your regular rate of breathing right now. So I'll give you, we'll start it off, we'll do it for about 15 seconds. And so 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin to breathe, and just count the number of seconds that you're breathing for this next 15 seconds. Just breathe. And our 15 seconds are up. So that number times 4 is your number of breaths per minute. But again, it could be a little weird because you were thinking about breathing, and maybe you were breathing more deeply, or maybe you were holding your breath or whatever. But that's giving you a sort of a basic rate of what you're breathing per minute is right now. And what we hope is that as we practice our breathing techniques, that we're naturally taking in deeper breaths all the time, and therefore less breaths per minute, less energy expenditure, but also that when we're doing breathing practices, that we're taking less breaths in the matter of the breathing techniques. Now, we practiced in part one last Saturday, the belly breath and the four-part breath. Those were the two breathing practices, and I said those are sort of foundational, and why I start us with that versus other pranayama techniques when there are plenty of them. Today, our practice is going to be the pausing breath, also known as viloma pranayama, as well as jai breathing, sound breath, which is sort of fun. Let's see, can we do that again? I was holding my breath. I'll let you do that because I'm going to go on a little bit with that. And what we'll do is I will do that later in class. So no worries about that. We'll do it again. I'll test your breathing rate more toward the end of the class. But at any time you want, as you want to do this, you know, set a little timer and then check your breathing and see how you were breathing number of seconds. It's actually sort of hard. You got to get into your mind and your body as one, and it's a little difficult to check our own breathing rate. It's better when somebody else is just observing us breathe. But we'll do that again in a little bit. So today's practice, the pausing breath and the ujjayi, the sound breath, which is interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the posture, the right posture. If you're wanting to practice breathing techniques, you can recline on the back, but there is some evidence to say that when we recline on the breath, especially if we're in a compromised situation, that's not the best way to breathe. And so reclining on the side might be better. And if we're truly, truly compromised in our breathing, actually being on the stomach with the chest propped up a little bit is actually the better way to breathe, because the expansion of the lungs into the back of the rib cage structure is more possible if we're not reclining on the back. But sitting is a good technique practice too. So if you are in a comfortable and good posture sitting position, you can use that. And so sitting with good posture is a little bit of an uplift, not extreme. But if you get overly tired of that, you can have pillows or anything behind your back to help you. And if you want to sit, you can even have your back against a wall area. So when we're doing these breathing techniques, it's important to stay comfortable. It's sitting on a bolster, sitting in a chair, reclining on your side, on your back if you want. There's no problem with that. Or on your stomach. Whatever you can do for a duration of somewhere between 2 to 10 minutes as we practice certain things. And you can fidget. And you can try one and then the other and find out what those practices are like. But we're going to start. And the reason we're going to start with the pausing breath is because one of the techniques that was talked about by a medical doctor involved something that was not exactly this pausing breath, the Viloma, but was very similar to it. And pausing breath is one of the first challenging breaths that I think is appropriate for us as we begin to pursue pranayama. Now, some of you have been practicing breathing techniques and can easily do some of the other ones, but I like to take us in a stage-by-stage-by-stage action so that we can work with that. And if any of these techniques that I'm proposing for you don't seem to be working for you, or they seem to be a little bit excessive for you, then my recommendation is that you just do the deep belly breathing or the four-part breathing instead of these. And if at any point as we are going into a practice that you feel that you're over-breathing, that you're hyperventilating, you're getting a little dizzy or woozy or whatever, and you just want to stop, then by all means just stop and let yourself be comfortable in what you're doing. Right now, just notice the way you feel. So we've gone through a few things already. If your body's tense, adjust yourself a little bit. Be in a comfortable posture. And we're going to limit our practice to something that's a very simple period of time as we go through these. Even though we could practice them for 10 minutes in a row, I don't want you to try something out and try and do it for that particular period of time. Because number one, I want us to go through several things today. And second of all, I don't know that doing something for an extremely long period of time is the best way to begin. It's just sort of like the weight training. I want you to do it a little bit, get used to it, and then you can practice a little bit more later. But we're going to begin with one of these pausing breathings. And it's a fairly simple thing that we're going to do. And I'll instruct you through it, and then we'll take it for another couple of minutes once we begin. But once you're in your comfortable position and you're ready, then I want you to exhale very deeply. Just try and clear your lungs out of all the air. And you're going to inhale for 2 or 3 seconds, pause for 2 or 3 seconds, and then continue inhaling. And so it's like this. So we exhale, and then we inhale, pausing, continue, pausing, continue, pausing, continue, just like that until you're filled. And then immediately exhale all the air out. All right, now I can't do it with you because every time I say something, I'm exhaling. But I'm going to talk you through it again, and we're just going to see if this is something that you are comfortable with. So let's try this again. So exhale completely and begin the inhale. Pause. Inhale more. Pause. Inhale more. Pause. Inhale more. Maybe four. Pause. Keep taking in those sips. Two, three. Pause. Two, three. Inhale. Two. As soon as you're ready, exhale. All right? So getting that sort of rhythm. Inhale. Two, three. Pause. Two, three. Inhale. Two, three. Pause. Two, three. Keep going a little bit with that. See if you can create your own rhythm of breathing in sips, pausing a few seconds, breathing, breathing in again, pausing again, until again you're filled, and again you're exhaling immediately. Try two more of those rhythms. 2 or 3 seconds, not a long period of time. Just sip in the air, pause a little bit, sip in some more. You can breathe into belly, sides, lower back, upper back. It may take you quite a bit of time to completely fill up. And as soon as you feel the desire that you really want to exhale, you just go ahead and do it. Don't try and hold the breath for any longer than feels comfortable. Now, this very next time you exhale, let me know how that was. How are you feeling? Is anybody feeling a little woozy or dizzy? Is anybody having trouble with that technique? How you doing? See some thumbs up. Okay. Looking at everybody. Free and spacious. That's a nice thing to say. Ready for a nap. Okay. Absolutely. So indeed, there can be, enjoy these practices. I'm hoping that you do. Here's the thing. What's the best practice? What's the one that you enjoy and will practice? That's the very best one. There are, you know, all of these are good. All of these are really good. Can be. And all of these can be too much, and all of these can be something that you're bored with. So the whole idea is, can you find something that you are willing to practice? That's the first and foremost thing that we need to find. Is what is it that we are willing to practice a little bit that doesn't seem too confronting? Probably good to change it, yeah. That's part one. And part one and stage one and stage two are really no more complicated one to another, okay? So one is that we do the pausing on the inhale. And this next one that we're about to try is that we're pausing on the exhale. Okay, that's all. That's the biggest thing. So we're just going to inhale normally and deeply, and we're going to exhale for 3 seconds and pause, and exhale for 3 seconds and pause. Okay, let me see if I can read that one. You can work on different part of the process, like cross-training for the breathing muscles. Yeah, absolutely. Very, very much so. But, you know, Marty, one of the things is getting people started. And part of what we're doing right now is trying to get those who are not currently in breathing practices into breathing practices. So anything that you can begin, because there's going to be a lot of different things that you can do, but too much, it's sort of like with cross-training. If there's too much variety, it tends to stop the progress of the person. If there's work on something a little bit and then switch to something else, that actually works a little bit better for muscular training, and that would be true also for training practically anything. Sort of like if you wanted to learn 15 languages, you'd probably want to start with one and then learn a little bit of another and then learn a little bit of another. If you try and learn them all at once, it's a little bit confusing to the structure of learning. All right, now let us go through this second stage, which is just like the first stage, only we're going to be exhaling when we do the pausing, okay? So when you're ready, let's see, I have no idea there was such a thing as cross-training your breathing muscles. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Just like any other muscle, just like any other thing that we do, you know, juggling, there's cross training juggling too. All right. Very good. So Viloma stage two, we're about ready for it. So get into your comfortable position, the one that you're going to use for your practice. And we're going to do the inhale now. So after exhaling completely this time, you're going to inhale without pausing, just as deeply and as fully as you can. And then when you begin to exhale, you do it for 1, 2, 3, pause. 1, 2, 3, exhale a little more. 2, 3, pause. 2, 3, exhale. 2, 3, pause. 2, 3, exhale. 2, 3, pause. 2, 3, keep going until all that air in that little pausing rhythm that you're creating for yourself is going out. If you got a clock that ticks, oh, it's really nice because it'll give you those seconds, okay? So once you're completely exhaled, then inhale as soon as you're finished exhaling, and then you're ready to do it again. So I want you to complete 3 or 4 rounds of that. So remember, the action is very simple. You inhale without pausing at all. And then when you're ready, you're full up. Exhale, 2, 3, pause, 2, 3, exhale, 2, 3, pause, 2, 3, exhale, 2, 3, pause, 2, 3, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and then you. Now, I'll tell you this too, is if you just feel like you just cannot handle it, then just exhale. Just go back to your regular breathing, all right? It can be a little confrontational at first with breathing techniques. You may feel a little strange. That's okay, because at any point you want to stop, you just stop. And so I think in certain ways, we're used to going very quickly sometimes with the exhale, that we just blow that breath out. And slowing it down is probably one of the things that are a little unusual, getting that exhale to go as slow as we want it to go. So trying with that exhale for a little bit. And after your next exhale, just start to breathe normally and let me know how you're doing. Everything still okay? Any questions? Any observation? Was that different than the pausing breath for breathing inhale? About the same? All right, I don't see any desperate chats or texts or anybody. Remember, you can turn on your microphone at any time and say anything you want. All right, very good. Now, as we've done that, so, you know, stage one and stage two being, you know, almost identical, just one's inhaling and one's exhaling or pausing. Well, then stage three logically would be we would pause on the inhale and then we would pause on the exhale. Let's see, more calming for me than on the exhaling. Sure. Okay, very good. So you notice that. That's great. Everything you notice is absolutely valid. It's just something about that is chiming in with you a little bit differently. So in our stage three, well, it's pausing on both the inhale and pausing on the exhale. And of course, that's going to expand the duration of the breath. Now, don't get, you know, all caught up. If you cannot do as many sips in as you think and you're just ready to exhale, then just try it, but we're going to try that pausing on inhale and exhale. So when you're ready and when you're comfortable, if you need to change positions, just go ahead and do that. But go ahead right now, when you're ready, just exhale completely, and it's on your next breath in that you're going to inhale, 2, 3, pause, 2, 3, inhale, 2, 3, pause, 2, 3, you're going to keep that rhythm until you fully inhale all the areas that you want. There we go. Keep going. And then when you're ready to exhale, you're going to begin to exhale, 2, 3, pause, 2, 3, exhale, 2, 3, pause, 2, 3. Keep going just like that until you're completely exhaled. Slow and steady, tick after tick, a little bit. Even a metronome can be very helpful in this kind of practice. And then you're ready to inhale, and it's starting over again. Inhale, 2, 3, pause, 2, 3, inhale, 2, 3, pause, 2, 3, just keep going. Just keep going with that rhythm. You set the rhythm. Does it matter that it's not exactly a second? No. It's a rhythm that you're creating, longer than a second, shorter than a second. It's just a rhythm that you're creating. And then when you're ready for the exhale, you're going to exhale, two, three, pause, two, three. Keep going with that rhythm, establishing that rhythm. And that's the idea of that pausing breath, is that you're creating a mind-to-body connection that's using a timing event completely different than the normal way that you breathe, so that you are focused and in the moment with yourself, absolutely, the entire breath, because that's how you create that action. It will not become automatic for a long time until you've practiced, 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 practiced. Very good. So as I said, I don't want us to do too much right now because we've got another breathing practice right now. How's everybody feeling? How was that? Was that maybe a little more difficult? Yeah, maybe so. Okay. Now, before we run out of time today, I want to talk about something, because this next thing is talking about the breathing practice that Dr. Munshi, urgent care lead at Queen's Hospital in London. There's a YouTube video about him, and his was a pausing kind of thing, but it was a different kind of thing. It was holding the breath once you've inhaled and holding it for a certain, so there was no pausing as you inhale. It was a different kind of thing. And what was interesting to me is that watching him do it, you know, he was told it by a nurse, you know, here's how you do this breathing and it can really help. And he was saying that it's absolutely the best thing to do is either be on your side or be on your front when you're doing the breathing technique, because of the problems of being on your back as far as this. And he was talking about this as being one of the types of rescue breathing. His name is, it's in your handout, it's spelled last name, N-U-S-H-I, M as in man, U-N as in Nancy, S-H-I. And his first name, Sarfaraz, and again, it's in your handout, so you can find him. But he's got a YouTube video that showed it. And while he was doing the YouTube video, as he displayed it, he said, oh, I'm feeling a little dizzy. Yeah, he was feeling a little dizzy, because this is a pretty strong practice, okay? And so I'll describe it to you, and I'll let you practice it as you like. But basically, the simple three-step technique is that we would take five deep breaths in, each time holding the breath for 5 seconds. And on the sixth breath, after we take it in, we do a great big cough, you know, covering our mouth, and then you do two cycles of that type of breathing as you're laying on the front. So what did he mean? Because, you know, I could take five deep breaths in, holding the breath for 5 seconds. I was wondering if he was doing the sipping breath of Diloma, but it wasn't. It was basically, here's how he did it. He exhaled completely, and he took a deep breath. Did it again. And again. And again. Again. I believe this is the sixth one. And then we're supposed to do that. And that type of breathing technique, whoo, that's holding breath. That's creating a little bit of a state of either hypoxia or hyperventilation with it. And I would say you got to get used to that. And so that was a recommendation for those who are having trouble with COVID itself, and it's trying to force more air into the lungs. It might be a little different if you are low in oxygen state as to the way that you feel, but I would never do this practice standing up, because it would be a bit of a problem until you'd practice it a little bit. But that was one of the recommendations. Let's see, I lost you on the sixth one. Please repeat. Well, we'll repeat that at the end of the class, because I got a couple more things I got to do, and so I'll go through this particular thing, and make sure, if you don't have the handout from me, I will make sure that you do get a handout. So everybody who is here today, I'll make sure you get the handout. So no worries about that. That's coming your way. But I want to, before we end, because we've only got a few more minutes left, I want to talk about Ujjayi breathing, sound breathing, because that's one of the things. and as well as a simple little exercise that can help us with our breath control. But no worries, I'll practice that at the very end for those who can stay. But let's talk a little bit about another breathing technique. All right, it's called Ujjayi breathing. This is a pranayama, and it's a Sanskrit word, Ujjayi. The ud part of it is an upward or expanding, and the jaya is conquest, and so it's you're breathing like a conquering hero kind of thing, and there's a sound to it, and a lot of people tend to maximize the sound of the breathing, but really the Ujjayi breathing is just about breathing deeply. The sound of the breathing is secondary to the fact that you're breathing deeply. But there is a particular sound that is made in Ujjayi breathing. It is a sound of an inhale, which is and the exhale, which is a. And it's done by the glottis, this little flap of skin that naturally will cover over our breathing tube when we are swallowing. And so we're basically restricting the breathing at that part of the throat very, very slightly. A lot of people do Ujjayi breathing as a very loud sound, but a very loud sound can actually restrict the throat in a way that is irritating to it. So all we're trying to do is to restrict the throat in a very slight way when we're breathing in and when we're breathing out. So if you'll place your fingers right here, sort of right at this connection, because your lung area is basically beginning right at this top of your collarbone section. So if your fingers are right in here, just right there, and you're just breathing in and out. When we're breathing normally, we don't feel anything right there, but I'd like you to create an action where you're just going to make that kind of a, and you may feel a little bit of a vibration right there. All right, there's a restriction of that area right there that confines the glottis right against the airway just a tiny bit. And the sound that we would make on an inhale is a fairly slight one. I'm making a little bit louder than it needs to be, and then the exhale is just a tiny bit of a sound. Now a lot of people do it so that there's a very strong sound, and I'll make a very strong sound with it. Boy, that's tickling my throat. And then the exhale sound, you know, doesn't need to be very loud. But sometimes you might be in a class where everybody's doing the Ujjayi breathing, and you swear there's a whole bunch of Darth Vaders around you. There's a lot of very noisy breath going on. But the breath for Ujjayi breathing is actually a very slight breath, just a little bit of a on the inhale and a on the exhale. Now, whether you get that sound or not today, remember that the primary purpose of Ujjayi breathing is to breathe very deeply. So let's do a very quick breathing practice that's just gonna be some of that deep breathing, and we're gonna see if we can get a little bit of a sound right here. And those who can stay a little bit later with me, I'll go over some of the breathing practices again as you would like. But we got about 5 minutes here, and that's plenty of time. So in a comfortable position, we're gonna be breathing into the belly, into the sides, into the lower back. We're going to inhale deeply, try and fill up our lungs, and exhale slowly. There's no pausing done with this typical Ujjayi breathing. We're just inhaling deeply and exhaling slowly and deeply. Once you've done that, you're going to breathe in with that little bit of a, see if you can make sort of a restricted sound. And then when you exhale, you want a little bit of a sound. And you're gonna try it for just a couple of breaths, just a tiny bit of sound. Just see if you can make just that slight little sound. And so the Ujjayi breath, the sound of breathing, is just a little bit of breath. It's not extreme. It's not extreme. And if you made the sound great. And if you didn't make the sound, that's fine too. Because the sound is secondary to the deep breathing in Ajayi. And as you practice it, you may discover that you can make a little bit of a sound, just a little bit of a restriction right there in the center of the throat. All right. Now there, in your notes, there's also some action yoga to benefit breathing practice, and it's typically the stretch that I have people do at the very beginning. So before I end it, I'm going to show you the action, the physical action that I'm talking about in your notes there. It's a very, very simple stretch, and I do it practically at the beginning of all of the exercise classes that I teach. And it's simply where we go into a crouched position like so, and we just take a shoulder across our body, and that just opens up the line of the ribs, and we breathe. And then we go across the other way, and we breathe. And that's the simple term of it. We can also take the legs out wider, and once we've opened up a little bit like this, one side and the other side, we can even take it down where we bring a hand down and we create more of a twist, like so. And so that just opens up the rib structure to a little bit more. And when you're in these kind of positions, either all the way down or up, when you're there and you breathe in as deeply as you can, it may actually make you want to cough, because you're actually elongating the torso. And when you breathe deeply in, it's stretching the structure. And if there's any minor adhesions, which can often build up in the lung structure, it can just sort of pull into those a little bit, and you might feel a desire to cough. And that's a great way to create a physical stretch of the lung space. Now, I'm not immediately going to end our session, because Ajayi breathing is so foreign, I wonder if I did it at all. And that's why we will have chances for you to check in either right now, if you want to retain with me later, and or at the beginning of the next session, I can check out your Ajayi breathing, you and I together, and see if we're getting any of that. So if anybody wants to speak now, we've technically ended our time together. So if you've got to run, you got to run. But there were a couple of questions and things that we wanted. And if you need to leave, that's great. And if some of you can stick with me.
I have a question about the Ujjayi breathing. It doesn't feel like it's actually deeper to me, but that you're just restricting to make the sound. Is that right?
Right. In other words, it's not necessarily deeper than other breathing. The idea is that we're doing a very deep breath, Joanna. And the restriction of the sound is more of a concentration of effort. It's to focus the mind into the moment with the body. There's also a very little bit of a vibratory action right in there, and there's a portion of the vagus nerve that is coming through the throat section too. And it's sort of like, you know, chanting and om and things like that. It does create a little bit of a vibration which feeds back into the vagus nerve, the parasympathetic section of the body. So creating a little bit of a vibration right here, a little bit of a sound or a noise, can actually create perhaps a little bit of a vibration into the action. Oh, okay. Jonah's dog loves the Ajayi breathing. Very good. Do you think it helps the voice? It can and it can't. Ajayi breathing may or may not. It all depends. It can actually harm the voice if you're doing too much.
Right, restricting is
not
good.
So it's so easy just to use a vocal cords to make the noise. Yeah, you know, that's true. We can go hum and all of that versus closing off the glottis. It takes a little bit of training. And that's one of the reasons that I want you to, especially at first when you're just beginning your training, to focus on some of the simpler things about belly breathing and four-part breathing, as well as even that pausing breath. And there's a lot more of actions. And thanks to all who told me they're enjoying the workshop. I do appreciate that. I'm going to send a follow-up email when I get the audio online, so you can listen to this again and practice as you would. And indeed, you know, your questions, I want to answer them all. And if everybody's still online who are wanting to see some things.
Can you demonstrate again, just you Ujjayi breath, that you're doing it fairly close to the screen?
Right.
So hear it again?
Absolutely. So in my normal breath, you will not hear any sound. So here's my normal breath. So there's no sound. Now, here's my ujjayi breath. Happening right there. Could you hear that?
A little bit.
Okay. I'll get closer to the microphone, let me. Because I got
yeah.
it. Actually, I see my great big face here in the screen. Okay. I'll try it again.
Thank you.
Here's normal. And then here's ujjayi. Could you hear that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so it's not very loud. It's a very simple thing, just right here. And if you're straining, and if it's extremely loud noise, then you're probably creating an irritation or a strain that isn't absolutely necessary to the breath. So it's not, you know, get the loudest ujjayi breath you can. It's create something that is just a very slight, you are doing it, you're having to control it, because it doesn't happen unless you're making it happen. And a lot of the breathing techniques are a way to create the mind into the body action. The breath training is not intended to be necessarily associated with the poses, because it requires its own dedication. So it's considered after you've learned all the poses and the poses are easy for you, then you can throw your breath training into it. Fake it till you make it. Well, maybe that is true.
The sound of the hissing, it's not in your teeth, it's literally in the throat.
Yeah, it's right here. So the action is the physical glottis, and so it's just, so you're just restricting the throat, and it is a training technique that takes a little bit of while. You'll may have that aha moment at some point that you, I get it now. Often you get it when you just do it too hard. You try and, you know, you restrict that throat and you're like, oh my, that's too much. And then you sort of lighten that pressure up. But because ujjayi breathing is often done excessively and a lot of excessive noise, and it's considered a badge of honor to have that kind of breathing action instead of a personal development, it can be a bit of an overwhelming desire to make loud noises. And so, you know, that unfortunately can become a part of it when we take something outside of its use and do it as a performance instead of something that is the audio forever. The audio that I'll have available will be on my website for as long as my website lasts, which should be for forever. Let's see. Sometimes you have to exaggerate it first. Yeah. Yes, but breath helps in poses. Yes. Deep breathing helps in poses. Relaxed breathing helps in poses. Breath.
What
and
about
breathe.
The five part in poses?
The deep, that full complete breath. Absolutely. So that can be very helpful. However, if you get too focused on your breath, you're going to lose track of your alignment. And so it's hard to do everything. Okay, it's really hard to do everything. And so when you're in a pose, I don't want you to sacrifice your physical body in order to create an extreme breathing technique. When you're in a yoga pose, your dedication is to the pose, and belly breathing might be all you can really handle. This is harder than the stuff you have us do with our toes in yoga. Yeah, it can very much be a difficult practice when you first start getting used to breathing. And so that's what I mean. It is in and of itself a training and a practice. It's considered relatively advanced. Most of those traditionally in yoga training, they would not begin their pranayama or their breathing training until they had mastered all of their yogic training, all of their physical actions of the body. It wasn't that they weren't breathing, but they were breathing deeply, and yet without the focus of all of this weird stuff. So I wouldn't do the pausing breath while you're practicing the triangle pose. I would just do deep breathing or trying to expand all of the body, and that is a lot to keep track of. You know, where's your front foot? What's happening in your hamstring? As well as what's happening within your lungs. I mean, my goodness, it's a very difficult thing to keep track of all of that. And my suggestion is to do the stuff that is absolutely necessary for you, so that you maintain what is really predominant in your action, which is that you are going to be responsible for keeping your body physically okay while you're doing a pose. So, you know, that's one of those things. We've got to stay physically okay. So divide it up. Do your breathing practice separate from your yoga, your physical actions of yoga, do your yoga, your physical exercise yoga with deep and slow and comfortable breathing. And that's the best thing to work. It merges over time anyway. Yes, it does. It absolutely does if you're doing really good. But don't try and do really complicated breathing practices while you're doing your yoga. It's not necessary. We're doing this again next week, aren't we? Yes, we are. I have another class that's same time next week. It's going to be a slightly different topic. I make handouts. There's going to be at least 4 handouts to it. So glad that all of you could join me for the workshop. And as I said, I'll be sending you the follow-up email. I'll make sure that everybody that was here today, I'll make sure that I've sent you the handout. And if it turns out that, you know, you want to make sure that I get you the handout, send me a message and I will make sure that you do get it. And not only the handout for this class, if you weren't here for last class and you want the handout to that class, absolutely. I don't yet have a good way to link those handouts to my actual website for you to download. So right now it's just a person by person thing. I'm sending those to you via your emails. Wimberley, Texas, representing there. So glad to have you as well. So indeed, and as I said, what is the most important thing to do is to practice. It's to do a little bit of this every day to create in your life a time that you say, it's time for my breathing practice. And it doesn't have to be extreme. Great, I will definitely send Jonah the handout from last week. And so indeed, it's a little bit of time. So don't think that you have to do this for, you know, hours at a time, that you have to dedicate a strong thing. A couple of minutes, it will grow. That's the thing. It becomes more because you're doing it. And you're doing it, it becomes easier. And so what do? You do more because it became easy. 2 minutes was nothing. But right now, 2 minutes of a breathing practice could seem like, well, that's a lot of time spent on that breathing. Yeah, that's the way it is at first. So give yourself the time to naturally develop. Start with the simple things. Today wasn't all that complicated. These things you might not have caught on to immediately, but you know what? You practice a little bit of the deep stuff, and this gets a little easier. All right?
Thanks, Julie.
You're welcome. So good to see you all.
Thank you.
Again, if you want, you're welcome. If you want to stick around, if you have some specific things to ask me, I welcome you to stick around even more. If you want to head off now in a minute or two there, I will. I'll be shutting us down. So thank you to everyone that joined. Don't think of these as sequential. That if somebody has not been to the first two of them, they're welcome to come to the third one. I'll be filling in all of the follow-ups, and please, you know, show up early if you have some specific questions, and I can help you with your breathing training, as well as the beginning of any other class times. This is always a topic that is really good, so we can talk about this at any time.